Inaya in Masachet Shabbat, the first parak of Pesukah Tet Zayin, in Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadata on Masachet Shabbat. Should I hold on? Okay, we've been discussing the last couple of Pesukot paragraphs where the Gemara discusses the importance of Hakarat HaTov, of saying thank you and recognition of thanks, and how the idea of recognizing and thanking God for the world on Shabbat is not just thanking God for the physical world, but Shabbat helps us realize the spiritual potential of man, and which is the spiritual potential of the world, and that's what the goal of the world is about. And when we take a day to stop and realize what are the priorities and why the world really was created, then Hakarat HaTov has a lot of religious and spiritual ramifications. Okay, the Gemara continues on the same topic and reads as follows. Mikan amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, anoten pat letinok tzarich leodia leimo. From here we learn, last time we saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a great gift in my otsar, in my treasure house, and its name is Shabbat. Go and tell the people of Israel that I'm giving them this great treasure. From here, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel learns that even when you give a little piece of bread to a small child, you should tell his mother in order that she should know who to thank. My Avile, what should you do? A little child, he's not going to remember, he's not going to understand, maybe he doesn't know the person's name. Amar Abaye, Sha'if le Mishcha, Umali le Kuchla. Rashi explains, Sha'if le Mishcha, Yeshav Shefenu B'Shemen Ben Enav. Put a little oil between his eyes, Davar Hanir'eh, Shetish Alenu Imo Mi Asaken. In other words, when the kid comes home, his mother will see that he has some oil on his forehead. And by the way, Rashi doesn't mention it here, but the Pashtut, when I understand the Gemara, is that you should take a little of the bread, which had a little, today we put margarine or butter, then they used to put olive oil, and just, you know, smear a drop on his head. So, you know, chocolate spread. When a kid comes home and has a little chocolate spread on his around his mouth, you know what he ate. Most kids, you know what they eat anyway. But here, just... that gets interesting.
You wouldn't
it's
get
so
up there.
Important. Yeah, right. Get up there. Also, he might clean it off because it might not be on his diet or something like that. So, so that's one possibility. If you don't, so his mother will tell him, "Why do you have oil on your forehead?" And he will say, "Cause Ploni, this person, gave me something to eat." And then she'll understand that she should say thank you to this person. Umalele kufla, the second possible action that you can do. Notem kachol saviv eino, v'chein l'shano b'talmud. Put a little coloring around one of his eyes, and that's another recognizable sign that the mother will ask you, what happened? Maybe it looks like a shiner that somebody punched him in the eye or something like that. And then he will say, well, this person, he gave me the bread, and he also gave me a little color. And the mother will know who to thank.
This is a very different society that we're living in now.
Right.
This is unthinkable today.
What do you mean?
First of all, to...
deface a child.
Yeah.
You get sued. The mom was a...
And then it would be understandable from that that she should thank you.
Also, that you even give a... you teach your children not to take food from strangers.
Oh, that's in the Western world, that's for sure. Somebody growing up in a yeshuv, you know, it's natural, you know.
It's true.
Everyone goes to the...
But one's instinct today is dafka not to tell the mother. Like, you don't want to show off. You can be nice. As you, then if you inform the mother so that she'll thank you, you feel like you're doing it because you want to be thanked.
Okay,
as
that
opposed
point
to doing
we
it
already
for free.
Saw last
right.
time. Okay, that exact point we already saw last time, which Rav Kook already said it, so he doesn't have to say it again, but that is an interesting point. In other words, that even though the ideal of anonymity is a known and understandable ideal, we say that the idea of Hakarat HaTov, of thanking each other, is such an important part of society that you're not allowed to withhold it from a person. And there's a very, it really is an ingenious way of thinking of how to raise a social fabric to a higher level. Anyway, Rav Kook, Pesuk Ten Zayin. Hatinuk eno makir ki im erech hatova shel hana'at hapat. When you give a child a little gift, a little piece of bread, that's all he knows. He's not going to think about thank you, he doesn't think of friendship, he doesn't think of altruism of giving, he doesn't... When you give a child a piece of chocolate, he doesn't think of anything metaphysical, he doesn't think of ramifications, he doesn't think of social fabric or Knesset Yisrael or anything. He got a piece of chocolate. Omnam. And that's why it's so important to bring his mother into the picture. Behi vada davar le'imo. When his mother finds out that somebody gave her child a present, teida lahakir et erech haregesh shel yedidut sheyesh bezeh. She definitely knows to understand the worth of the friendship that this action has. The idea of giving each other gifts, we know, for example, Mishloach Manot on Purim. And it also appears in Sefer Nehemiah, right? In Rosh Hashanah, when they came to build the second Beit HaMikdash, and they celebrated Rosh Hashanah in a big, really big celebration. And people were crying, they were doing tshuva, and the Navi tells them, don't cry, ki chedvat Hashem yimaluzchem, today is a happy day, we're getting forgiveness, etc., etc. Go and send mishloach manot, friends, send food to each other. Right? That's the Jewish way of celebrating friendship. And also food, that's a Jewish way. And to send it to each other. But what's interesting here is that adults understand, all right, what is the educational process of a Piaget or Ben Chamesh Lemikra, right? That you learn Tanakh at the age of 5 and Mishnah at the age of 10 and Gemara at the age of 15. The cognitive, the abstract thinking develops as we mature. Maturation includes abstract thinking. So the adult automatically thinks abstractly. Not only, hey, my son will be that much less hungry, but about friendship, about Jewish society, about the state of Israel, etc., etc. Oh, shirk off. Gam kash yigdal hayelet titkasher nafsho b'mishenata ilav lifamim Ahava v'yalduto. And even the child, because he sees the mother's reaction, again, the mother doesn't react in calories. Hey, you know, you gave something tasty to my son. But the mother sees it as an act of giving, an act of altruism, an act of friendship. And the child picks that up also. The child picks that up also. And that maybe when he's young, he doesn't really appreciate it, but when he gets older, he will have also positive feelings towards that person. There's something, I don't know if you people remember, once Achia Meir, one of the kids of the Yeshivim, today he's a Ram in, I forgot where, in some yeshiva, that's where Rav Meir's grandson. So he was once giving a Dvar Torah at Leil Shabbat, and he mentioned once how when he was a kid, David Jackson saw him in the makolet, said, come over here, and bought him a chocolate bar. Okay. Achia Meir remembered this, was it 15, 20 years later, says it in front of the whole shul. It was something that made a very strong impression on him. The type of thing that since then I've done myself a couple of times, because if you put yourself in the feet of a kid, that's altruistic. He's not my father. He's not my grandfather. He's not even the candy man in shul. You know, kids think that's his job. You know, he has to give me candies. You know, I said Shabbat Shalom to him. Right? But here you just see an act of altruism that Rav Kook says that when the kid grows up, he's also going to see it as an act of altruism, for sure, if he sees his mother's reaction. Right? נמצא שההודעה לאמו תביא את הפעולה הקטנה החומרית למטרה רוחנית נכבדה. If so, the idea of telling the mother, I gave your child a piece of candy, really is a small action, a small physical action, which is seemingly meaningless, but which has long-standing, spiritual, honorable ramifications of Hakarat HaTov. Right? And again, these are the small type of things that change society. Now, when Rav Kook talks about the pu'la ktana turning into ruchanit, pu'la ruchanit nichbada, this is a very important yisod in the writings of Rav Kook, where one of the most common topics that he talks about is the importance of the small detail in the large picture. And this is something we've spoken about before, the achdut hakulelet, the all-encompassing, big, large, holistic, universal ideals, which really, tachlis, boil down to the small little actions that we do. Giving 10 agorot to tzedakah, and another 10 agorot to tzedakah, it adds up. A small, Rav Kook writes in Orot HaKodesh, the famous line of, in koten begodel. There is nothing small in something big. And this is the Kabbalistic idea of the tzitzit. I don't know if I mentioned this in the past. What is the idea of uritem oto, uzchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem? Why is it that when we see the strings of the tzitzit, that reminds us of all the mitzvot? So in the Kabbalah it explains that if you picture a beged, right? This is the four-cornered garment. The four-cornered garment has strings coming out of here, strings coming out of here, strings coming here. The strings are like sa'arot, are like hairs. The hairs of the head of the beard are called in Kabbalah Tiferet, the beauty. And that's also why when a woman gets married, why the idea of covering her hair is considered such an important part, because the beauty of the hair is especially appealing. Right? You know, a woman who lectures a lot on tzniut told me that she once just did an exercise. She went through a woman's magazine and she counted most of the commercials have to do with either hair coloring, hair dye, hair spray, and even those that don't have a beautiful model with long flowing hair. This is what's called the idea of tiferet. What is tiferet? If you take an individual hair, I remember as a kid growing up, I had two younger sisters, and one of the things the older brothers listen to their younger sisters is if they leave a hair in the sink, you know, in the morning. And because the hair, it's disgusting, right? But if you take 1,000 hairs together and you organize them and you shape them, you style them, then it is considered especially beautiful. And that is the Kabbalistic idea of Tiferet, where you take one detail, which isn't really very beautiful in and to itself, another detail, another string, and another string, and another string. But Sach HaKol, not only are those strings all connected to one general idea, the beged, right, the clothing, you all with me? But that beged, what's it made out of?
Material.
A lot of strings, and more strings, and more strings. By the way, halakhically it's interesting, a piece of clothing which was just cut out, like leather, is patur from tzitzit. It has to be made out of shti v'erev. It has to be made out of, it could be made of synthetic strings, but it has to be made out of strings. What's the idea? That you don't get anything significant in life unless you have those small, small strings, which again, individually, they may not seem significant. But when you look at the whole picture, that's tiferet. That's ur item oto. You see those little strings? Uzchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem. And then vasitem tam. Then you'll have motivation to do the small actions, which aren't small anymore. Right? That's the idea of ein koten begodel. It's a concept to which Rav Kook, like I said, writes about a lot. Also the idea of the accumulation. Also the idea that even if you're missing one, the smallest coin, a 10 agorot coin, if you put it into the Coke machine, you're not going to get the Coke, right? You can put in 590, but if you need 6 shekel, that last 10 agorot, that makes a difference. Now, Kal Vachomer, how much more so in the modern technological world, where with computer chips, I don't even know what is this called, computer chip, how much could it hold? A lot of information, right? Gigahertz. Gigahertz, right. They used to give the example of the transistor radio, but that's like totally, you know, today you have, on one little CD-ROM disk in the, from the Bar Ilan, I have 40,000 Sfarim, right? And the whole idea in the modern world that size, we know that it doesn't make a difference, right? Israel could be the smallest army in the Middle East, but you could be the most quality army, right? And that's part of growing up. Little kids think that everything, oh, I'm bigger than you, I'm shorter than you, you're shorter than me, right? Little kids measure everything by size because they're external, they're simple. That's what Rav Kook says here in the first sentence. All they think about is that little chocolate, right? That little piece of bread. But part of the maturation process of growing up to be more and more godly is this idea of, what are we talking about?
Abstract science, abstract thought.
Abstract thought. Okay? Of the abstract thought. Okay. In Sasha Dali, Mother Kmochen. Hashabbat, oh, and also, so again, so that is the meaning of, in Rav Kook's writings, the idea of details have play a very, very important role. Just like in Judaism, that's the difference between Judaism and Christianity. Christianity goes for the klal, no, peace, love, charity, but they don't have the Shulchan Aruch to tell you how much charity to give. Okay, it says in their Torah, you're Lo telech rachil ba'mecha, you're not allowed to slander, is also in the Christian Torah. But they don't have a Shulchan Aruch, they don't have a Shmirat HaLashon, they don't have the details of what is the halachic definition of the small actions that make up the big picture. Okay. Kmochen ha-Shabbat. Similarly, the idea of Shabbat. Shmirata ha-Pshuta le'umat ha-Yesod ha-Ruchani ha-Kamus b'tocha. להכירו ידע את כלל רוממות ערך האדם, כדי להיות ליסוד נעלה לכל דרכי התורה והקדושה, כי דומה לערך הפת הניתן לתינוק בהכרתו הקטנה, לעומת הכרת אמו הגדולה. Just like we've been talking about the last two shiurim, that Shabbat is also something that could be seen as something small. The more you learn about it, you learn the Rambam, you learn the Sefer HaChinuch, you learn the Kabbalistic aspects of the Shabbat, and you learn what we learned the last couple of weeks about how Shabbat helps us realize the spiritual goal of the world, the spiritual meaning of man, the spiritual potential of man, etc., 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 what we've been talking about, the idea of Hakarat HaTov, recognizing what's really important, etc. The same thing with Shabbat. Again, Shmirata HaPshuta, just like there's the child's way of saying things, and the adult's way of saying things. So too, Shabbat, it's simple observance. Right? Most people observe Shabbat, they just know, do, don't, do, don't, do, don't. Right? It still has that importance. Okay? Just like a child has that importance. He's in the picture. L'mat yesod ha-ruchani ha-kamuz v'tokha, compared to the big, beautiful, lofty, idealistic, metaphysical Shabbat, there's no comparison. That is like the relationship, Rav Kook says in the Mashal, that is connected here with the idea of, tell Israel, I'm giving you a great present, it's Shabbat. Who's the child? The child is here in the Mashal, we'll see in a second. Shabbat umnam ayidei hanetina ktana. Kamochen tavo, just like giving a little gift to a child really can and should be turned into a big national spiritual thing. Kmochen tavoa teuda hagdola shoruchaniyut haShabbat. How are we going to get to that higher, real, more total picture of the spirituality of Shabbat? Rak al yidei shmirata hapshuta. It starts out with the simple observance of Shabbat. Right? A child at the age of 3, the age of 4, he doesn't understand Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim. He doesn't understand what it means to God, that Shabbat has anything to do with God creating the world. It's just at the stage of the Targileinu b'Torahtecha. You want to get him accustomed to observing the Shabbat. Okay? That's the way it begins. Also, unfortunately, there are many adults who never get past that stage. Right? All they just know, you don't drive, you don't turn on lights. Nevertheless, even those Jews, even those adults who observe the Shabbat in its most superficial form, nevertheless, there's a benefit. What's the benefit? The mashal of the masses, here Rav Kook starts a parenthesis, if you have a book, I would put a parenthesis here. The masses, she'en lehem ki im advarim amasim levadam, the masses who just understand the do's and the don'ts, they don't understand the philosophy and the symbolism, etc. Below avchana leredet lesof tam kedushat haShabbat elyona, they don't understand the Kabbalistic and the deeper spiritual philosophical aspects of Shabbat. They are likened, end of parentheses, letinok, to the child. The masses, the way the masses observe Shabbat, is like the child in the mashal, in the allegory. Veha'im, who's the mother? He Knesset Yisrael Bichlal. This is the nation of Israel in general. And here, this is another concept which Rav Kook writes over and over, especially in the Orot Yisrael, of the relationship with sometimes the individual Jew may not be so complex, may not be so deep. But as long as he's connected with Knesset Yisrael, the sum and the nation of Israel, the spiritual soul of Israel, then he is gaining that benefit. I'll just mention one example where Rav Kook mentions this idea, which will also help us understand how he explains the relationship between the child and the mother as the masses in their relationship to Knesset Yisrael. In Sefer Orot Yisrael, like I said, Rav Kook there talks a lot about it. In Amud Kuf Mem Vav Seif Gimel, page 146. He talks about Hadvikut B'Tzadikim, cleaving to Tzadikim, which everybody knows since the Baal Shem Tov in Chassidut, that really took off. The idea of cleaving to a Tzadik and learning from a Tzadik, also intellectually, also from his actions. Rav Kook writes is very important. Aval tzarich shmira gedola. You have to be very careful. She'im yit'e b'tzadik echad. If you make a mistake and choose a certain tzadik, what do you mean make a mistake? Also, every tzadik has little mistakes. V'idabek bo dvekut pnimit havayatit, and you really have that inner connection with a tzadik. V'idabek gam ken b'chisronotav. Hari, every person has chisronot, how do you say it?
Weaknesses.
Even the greatest tzaddikim. We're not Catholics. We don't believe in the infallibility of our rabbis. I'm a rabbi. I know better than anyone else how many fallibilities, if there is such a word, I have. And Rav Kook, as one of the Gedolei Ador, he also knew his mistakes, his weaknesses. And he says, when a chassid cleaves to his Rebbe, inevitably he is also going to cleave to his Rebbe's weakness. And everybody has a little weakness. And not only that, hem yifa'alu lifamim al hadavek b'mida grua harbe mimashen po'alim ala isha mikori. And anybody who's been in the yeshiva world knows this is such a hook, is hitting the nail on the head. Usually what happens when students copy their Rebbe, also his good points, but when they copy also his weaknesses, it's magnified so much more than in the Rebbe. It's batal b'shishi, right? He has so many strong points. You know, I know a Rosh Hashiva, for example. He's a Nitzol Shoah. He's a Holocaust survivor. And he has absolutely no patience and no tolerance for Goyim, for Gentiles. And that's the type of thing that anybody who hasn't been through the Holocaust cannot judge anybody who has been through it. You know, and he talks in general, you know, not only about the Germans, you know, all the goyim. And that's the type of thing that is found in the yeshiva world. But he has so many strong points that, okay, you know, that's like, again, it's batal b'shishim. But in his students, like, that's one of their big things. They talk about against the Arabs and against all the goyim and about these and the death and the blacks and this and the... Now, if so, so what's the solution? All right, you're supposed to, Chazal tell us, that what is litabek bo, to cleave to God, is litabek b'talmidei chachamim. On the other hand, this problem is a very true problem. And I won't give examples from the Hasidic world, because I don't know who's watching at home, but anybody who knows the Hasidic world knows that when a Rebbe has a certain shortcoming or intolerance for something, right, his Hasidim really inflate it and take it really out of proportion. What's the solution? Ashrehem Yisrael. Happy or fortunate is the Jewish people. Am Yisrael. Shem dvekim b'nishmat ha'uma. Shehi tov muchlat. Lishov al yadoa or Hashem hatov. We don't cleave to one Rebbe. We cleave to all the Talmidei Chachamim and all of Am Yisrael, which together as Knesset Yisrael, even if this one person has a shortcoming, it's more than made up from other people, from other Rabbanim. And this is something that Rav Kook writes about in several places. We do not ma'aritz, is it ma'aritz? Idolize people. We do not idolize people. Even the Tanakh writes left and right that Moshe Rabbeinu sinned here, and David HaMelech sinned there. And it's the only book who doesn't whitewash any of the sins of our forefathers. And that's not our topic, but that's a very, very big chiddush. In the old world, there's no such thing. If so, so where are we supposed to learn from? Don't idolize the people, but you do idolize Knesset Yisrael. Because Knesset Yisrael as a whole, in every generation, and over all generations, has it all. And if this Talmid Chacham is strong at this point, but weak in that point, if you're connected with all the Talmidei Chachamim, and also within the religious Zionist camp, this is very important also. And the Sugya, the Parashah of Ramoti Elon is a classic case, right? Don't idolize any one Rav. And Adrabah, at different stages in life, it's also natural and also inevitable, aside from the Hasidic world, right? In the Lithuanian world, in the Yeshiva world, in the religious Zionist world, to have different Rabbanim at different stages, and all of them complement each other to give you a more total, all-encompassing picture, which will overcome this weakness or that weakness that this Rav or that Rav might have. Again, what's the answer? Idolize Knesset Yisrael.
Hey, by the way, the Tanakh, I run into this thing very often. I hear in various talks about the key figures of the Tanakh, what perfect tzaddikim they are, but it doesn't always fit, because when I read the straight text, as much as they are tzaddikim gedolim, they have flaws, and it is not possible. The two don't always match.
Not only that, I'll even sharpen your point. I published a 70-page article once on all of the Midrashim, where Midrashim invent chataim, sins, for the heroes of the Tanakh that are not at all found in the Tanakh. Mm. And by the way, there are a lot more, a lot of times, people quote the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Kol Omer David Chatayin O'el Toeh. Right? That whoever says David HaMelech sinned, he is mistaken. And they say, oh, look at this, what the rabbis are trying to whitewash and cover up. That's a lie. Because the rabbis mention there are a lot more Midrashim which accuse the heroes of the Tanakh of different chataim obviously so that we should learn from them. That's the point. It's not in order to accuse them of this or that, but to help us learn that if the cedars of Lebanon have shortcomings, so how much more so all of us have to be on our guard, to be careful in the laws of Yichud and the laws of... again, the fact that every now and then you hear of a Rav who is Nichshal, that's the Raya, that's the proof. Getting back to what Rav Kook is saying here, this is the advantage of being part of Knesset Yisrael. Even if an individual Jew hasn't learned Kabbalah, and isn't intellectually capable of observing that great, beautifully lofty Shabbat that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, the fact that he's connected with his mother, with Knesset Yisrael, which is drawn as the mother, that completes his picture as well, the picture of the masses as well. Hanoseret al paneha limudei Hashem. And what is the basis of that Knesset Yisrael, of that soul of Israel? The Talmidei Chachamim, the scholars. Hamesigim erech ha-te'uda ruchanit shel ha-Shabbat. The scholars of every generation, they do know how to observe the Shabbat properly. And when the masses are connected with those scholars, are connected with Knesset Yisrael, then that elevates the Shabbat even of the child. And that's why it's not enough to tell the child, I'm giving you Shabbat, or I'm giving you a piece of chocolate. You have to connect it and tell the mother. You have to connect it with Knesset Yisrael. Ki ha-yediyah titpashet b'yichud b'anshei ha-ma'ala b'alei b'ina. Right? The understanding, obviously, is going to spread and be understood that much more among the intellectuals. Ha-menikim ta'am b'katnuto. Those intellectuals who then in turn nurse the children, i.e. the masses, michalav shadeh shel Torah v'da'at Hashem. From the milk, Torah is likened to milk, that's why we eat mozarei chalav, dairy products on Shavuot, and chalav u'dvash tachat l'shonech. That is again the picture of the mother and the child, Knesset Yisrael, and the masses, and that is the way to Da'at Hashem, to knowing God, even through the masses. So again, we have some very nice concepts here, very important, and also the idea of the importance of each individual ma'aseh, even observing Shabbat on a very simple level, but obviously to try to connect to that much deeper Shabbat. How? Through the great Talmidei Chachamim and through the Chibur to Knesset Yisrael. And this is something that Rav Kook writes about a lot, that the more a person is connected with Knesset Yisrael, that is the closest pipeline that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's such a big thing when a person, whether it be that he serves in the army, or whether he volunteers to help Am Yisrael in Shirut L'Umi, or in the Yishuv, or whatever it is, in Tnuva, right? Anything to Mizakeh the Rabbim, to help other people, to help the Am Yisrael, that is something which also helps your Shabbat. It helps every small action that you do, because it connects you with the big... treasure chest, right? Yeah.